You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
I would like to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, if it's your first time here, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. It is not about crime. Don't get it twisted. Hey, and by the way, if you decide to call in, keep your comments relevant. Avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity, or you're going to get put on mute. I'm going to kick you out of here. All right. Now, on this program, actor Samuel L. Jackson versus the President of the United States. Sam Jackson made some comments that he probably shouldn't have made, but we'll talk about this and see if it's a crime that he did this. We have Victoria Rao. She made some comments about Oprah and Tyler Perry. I guess a comparison kind of thing. So we'll talk about that. Duke professor discussed new racism in America. I thought this would be a good topic to discuss, along with discussing in the news a white sorority allowed black women to join, so that's also in the news. But we have that and more news and entertainment, but we just want to start it off with that just to get the conversation going and welcome you again to the show. So I want to welcome everyone in the chat, and if you're online, hit one on your line if you want to join in. If you want us to give you some information about the show, you can write us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com or like us on Facebook. It is BOBC Show on Facebook. Go check it out. Like our page. You know, you can send your questions over there as well. Now, if you missed last week's show, David E. Talbot versus the black community. He made some things doing his media rounds for his movie, Baggage Claim. John Singleton asked the question, can a white director make a great black movie as black biopics go? Jay-Z and Chris Brown. Well, it was Chris Brown versus Jay-Z because Chris Brown made the statements. And we had advice for inspiring actors from Jennifer Lewis. Again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Our chat room is now open. I was a little late with the chat room. So chat room is now open. You can join us there if you want to participate. Let's go straight to news. We like to start the program just to catch you up on current events and news stories. But later in the program, I think we may have to talk about the government shutdown, some other stuff, but we'll see how this is going to go. Now, David Talbot, I know we talked about him in the last show because he made Black on Black Crime, which he committed a crime, but his romantic comedy, which he doesn't like to call a black romantic comedy, opened with just over 2,000 screens nationwide this weekend. It grossed $9.3 million. I guess they're considering that not to be spectacular because it came in fourth, but the production budget was reportedly $8.5 million. So they made $9.3 in the first weekend. They're going to cover that easily. So who knows how this is going to go. And by the way, Lee Daniels, the butler, continues to push above $100 million at the box office, adding another $2.4 million to his gross over the weekend. It's seventh in releases this year. It brings their total to $110,281,000. For the butler, which I'm probably not going to see. All right. And Tiger Woods also was voted U.S. PGA Tour Player of the Year for the 11th time on the strength of his five big wins, and he returned to number one in the world this year. It was the third time Woods won the Jack Nicklaus Award, despite not winning a major. He made up for that with two World Golf Championships and the Players' Championships among his five wins. No one else has won more than twice this year, and Woods won five times. He won the Varden Trophy for the lowest scoring average and the Tourney's Money title this year. Player of the Year, 11th time, Tiger Woods. Now, President Obama last week, or since the last show, spoke to Iran's president. The Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, spoke by telephone last week. It was the first conversation between an American and an Iranian president in more than 30 years. The exchange, they said, could reflect a major step in resolving global concerns over Iran's nuclear program. Now, the president said that he had a constructive conversation with the Iranian leader, and he said, while there will surely be important obstacles to move forward, success is by no means guaranteed. He said, I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution. So that's what the president said in Iran this week. Now, George Nelson, if you remember George Nelson, the culture critic, has launched a 30-day Kickstarter campaign to raise $40,000 to be used in a production in a film about Misty Copeland. Now, she's the first black woman in two decades to be a soloist in the American Ballet Theater. Now, just 8 months after suffering a nearly career-ending injury, she started the Metropolitan Theater production of La Cocière. With 20 days to go in this Kickstarter campaign, they raised $6,000, $6,300, or closer to $6,500, I guess I should say. Misty will narrate the film, so if you want to help out, I think I'm going to go in on this one. I think if you give a certain amount, Misty will give you a call, but maybe that's just me. But you can contribute to George Nelson's film. He is actually producing and, I think, directing the film, so it's George Nelson. Also, while I'm speaking about Kickstarter, the movie My Man's Choose Your Hustle, and their Kickstarter campaign begun. We talked about this last week with director Aldrich Brown. Their goal is to raise $60,000 in 30 days so they can shoot the opening scene of their new feature film called My Man's. It's like My Man's in them. It's My Man's. To literally kickstart the feature film based on the novel by J.M. Benjamin, they have to raise $60,000, and so they're asking everyday people to give $20 and thank 20 people who helped them with their particular hustle. So it's kind of a positive thing. Give $20 and then thank 20 people. So you can go check that out. It's called My Man's Choose Your Hustle. It's a Kickstarter campaign, and hopefully we'll get the producer on and maybe the director on one of our shows sometime soon. I actually spoke to one person from that group, so we'll see how this is going to go. Now, Beats by Dre, the company received a huge investment from a private equity firm. Now, the popular line of headphones and other electronic products are owned by Andre Young, or Dr. Dre from NWA, and Jimmy Ivey. They received a $500 million investment from the Carlyle Group. Now, the Carlyle Group will now take two of the six seats on their board, on the Beats board, and the popular company is now valued at over $1 billion and expected to bring in nearly $1.2 billion in revenue. Now, this investment is a huge boost for the company that already claims 64% of the headphone market. I think they bought, it's been reported in other news outlets, that they bought the shares from Dre and not Jimmy Ivey. So maybe Dre got another $500 million and then still has retainership in the company. But that would be a good power move. I'll read into that and let you know. Just want to let you know, you listen to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. That was kind of some Esprit Net news stuff going on. And I want to invite you to join in on this program of Black on Black Crime. Our main story is going to be Sam Jackson versus the President of the United States, you know, the stuff that he said. And we also have Victoria Rowell. She has a question. She just said black productions can be just Tyler Perry and Oprah. So we're going to talk about her project that's coming up. And I just want to ask, is that a black on black crime? Just to bring up those two. We also have a question, something that's in the news, about black women being allowed to join white sororities. That was something that was in the news from the University of Alabama. Also, on the slate, I have some Arsenio news, but we're going to do that later on in the show when we get to our news section and maybe play a clip from Arsenio, just in case you haven't heard it. But I just wanted to remind you that we have all those things coming up, and I want to thank you for joining us and welcome you on to the show. Now, MC Search, I don't know if you guys remember him. He rose to fame in the late 80s, performing as a part of a group called Third Base. And then, as a solo artist, he will head a new syndicated daytime talk show from CBS simply called Search. The daily hour-long show will begin a four-week test run exclusively on Tribune broadcasting stations in 8 markets. It'll start January 6, 2014, and the series will feature what they said are real people with real issues relying on the host, Search, to use his street smarts and unconventional background to help guests grapple with and resolve their problems. Now, this is what their press release says from CBS. Now, this show is executive produced by the guy who produced Katie, Nightline, and Good Morning America. That guy is pretty much going to try to create Jerry Springer with NC Search. That's going to be my take on it. I'm not really sure on how that goes. It just seems kind of strange. Just remember, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. You can join in 909-265-9189. I'm going to come back and talk about one of our topics. And after we do a quick news break, we're going to come back and give you some more information. For everybody on the line, I want to thank you for joining us. If you hit one on your line, I will bring you in. But if not, cool. We'll still go through some more news and information that we have before we get into our Black on Black crimes for this particular show. All right. Now, remember, if you call in, I know we're doing a night show. Watch your vulgarity and profanity and obscenity. Or, you know, we'll have to put you on mute. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. The income gap between the richest 1% of Americans and the other 99% widened to a record margin in 2012. That's according to analysis of tax filings. Now, the top 1% of U.S. earners collected 19.3% of household income, breaking a record previously set in 1927. In Vienna, a company introduced fines for kissing, speaking on the phone, and eating on public transportation. The company that runs the transit claims that it has been experiencing increasingly odd activity. There has been an increase in the number of naked passengers, and a passenger brought a pony aboard. In 2009, kissing was banned from the platform at the railroad station. Now, a month after successfully raising over $1.4 million via Kickstarter, Spike Lee has been announced as the recipient of the Dorothy and Lillian Gish Prize. Now, Darren Walker, the president of the Ford Foundation, said, "We honor Spike Lee for his brilliance and unwavering courage and for the passion for justice he feels in his soul." British scientist has developed a way of using urine as a power source to generate electricity. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
Is a birthday bash for the one, the only first lady and diva of song and dance and acting, Melba Moore. And you're invited to the Cutting Room at 44 East 32nd Street, New York, New York, to be a part of the celebration and festivities. Advance tickets for $40, $45 at the door, and a $20 food minimum is guaranteed to get you full and ready for the birthday bash of the year. Doors open at 6:30, showtime featuring the lady herself, Melba Moore, is at 8 o'clock p.m. Advance tickets available online at TicketBlock.com.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I am laughing because, let's just bring him in. Vanessa, what's going on? Vanessa's mad about last week's show.
I'm mad about last week's show, and then you went and changed the show, and if I wasn't looking at my phone for a reminder, I'd have been somewhere watching some football right now.
Wait, first of all, ain't nobody running from nobody. I just want to tell you that right now. We talked about David Talbot, and so, matter of fact, I'm going to let you get some shot in on David Talbot since you missed it.
I didn't hear what you guys had to say yet, but I know it was foul because I wasn't here. So I'm going to wait until I listen to it next week. And wait, all I know is y'all better go see Baggage Claim and don't be dogging my man David Talbot out because he's doing his thing. It was a great movie. And that's all I'm going to say until next week.
Okay, well, I was going to tip you off on that because your boy was foul. But at the beginning of the show, I did say David Talbot, they did make $9.3 million over the first weekend. And it was about $8 million to production costs. So they're going to clear that the rest show and be okay. So it was pretty successful. I didn't say it was a bad movie. I'm just talking about when they get on these side soapbox stuff. David Talbot.
You better put the review up on the site. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, hey, you send it. It's up. Hey, I don't take that stuff personal. David Talbot just stepped outside of himself. That's all that is.
Well, I know we get them. It don't matter who it is. We don't discriminate. But I didn't hear it.
Hey,
and I just did a screening and was just talking to him. And I was like, ain't this something? They're going to talk about my man and then I'm going to have to hear this later on.
Let me tell you something. Who was it? Russell Simmons had about 3 weeks on this show. He had one.
He should have had longer than that. He should have had 6 months.
He had 3 weeks of him messing up, then cursing out, and then messing up. It can go either way. As long as you don't make the Uncle Ruckus watch, you'll be all right. That's all I'm saying about David Talbot.
All right.
Now, this time, on a really quick story, Victoria Rowell from Young and the Restless, maybe? The actress, advocate, mother, you know, former foster child is how they described her, and a best-selling author. Now, she has her Indiegogo now to raise $50,000 for her pilot.
Here we go.
Rich and Ruthless. Now, okay, well, look at you. You want to save Talbot, but you can't say nothing nice about her trying to scrape up her money to do her own show?
Nah. Well, she needs to save some of her checks from Young and the Restless to ask for her.
Ain't none of your business.
That's all I'm saying.
Ain't none of your business, what she did with her check.
Hey, I'm just speaking for all the independent artists out there that are struggling, don't have the connects like these folks. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now, she has gone to her crowdsourcing with Indiegogo to fund her project, The Rich and the Ruthless. But here's her quote. She says, I want to get them, African-Americans, to black-owned productions. It just can't be Tyler Perry and Oprah out there. I don't think that's a slam against Tyler Perry and Oprah, but
I do.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let you have this because I'm going to defend her. You ain't going to run
roughshod
over.
I'm not going to run roughshod over. It's okay. A slight little jab because it's jealousy. But here's the thing. They started with let's keep Oprah out of this one. That's a little bit more we go into. But Tyler didn't get no help from the white folks.
Okay, go ahead. I'm gonna let you go.
He didn't get no help from the white folks. Okay. Mm-hmm. He busted his butt and did whatever. He didn't call out people, he didn't do all this stuff that I see people doing towards him. Use that as a model, go down and sit down with this man and talk to him. See how he did.
Okay, so it was not a slam against Oprah and Tyler. She was just saying that we have to own our own productions. They can't be the only ones that's out there doing it. There are other people who are owning their productions, by the way. So,
there's a bunch of them that still that do. They're not the only two. They may be the only two high-profile ones. But your man, what's his name? The people, Mario and his daddy own theirs. They've been owning theirs.
Oh, yeah, Mario Van Peebles. But
yeah.
To her defense, she is not calling them out in a negative. She's saying that we have to get out there to own our production. She said we. Like, we have to get everybody to go out to own their own stuff. And I agree with that, by the way. Watching Arsenio, right? This Asian guy gets up and he's breakdancing. I know, he's doing a great job. Now, he gets up, he's breakdancing. He said, oh, yeah, people were laughing at me, so I learned on YouTube. And so now he breaks really well. And he's on our scene, and I'm thinking, if everybody keeps selling black culture, then everybody else will own it. So you can learn anything on YouTube. So in Victoria's case, She's saying we have to own this stuff. We just can't keep selling it and giving it away to other people, right? And so I'm totally in agreement with that.
I agree, and that's why. And I, since you brought up Arsenio, I want to say this right now, and I want to say this about Queen Latifah's show. I want to say congratulations to both of them for kicking the daylights out of people on late night and daytime talk show. Since they've been on, they are killing them in the numbers. And that just goes to show you that Arsenio was gone for, what, 5, 6, 10, 20 years?
19 years.
19 years. And, you know, I love – the closest we've had was George Lopez. I don't count Monique's show. I'm not going to bash her because that's a black-on-black crime.
You sure can,
George Lopez. George Lopez was the next big thing, and they did him wrong. I love Jimmy Fallon because he has the roots, but there's nobody like Arsenio. And we needed Arsenio. I went back and I traced over some things over the last few weeks since we've been on. Arsenio is as important to our culture as anything. If it wasn't for Arsenio, we wouldn't have the Menace to Society, the Boys in the Hood. We wouldn't have the kind of music that was – he brought hip-hop, took it to a whole another level. If it wasn't for Queen Latifah learning from her mistakes and coming back and saying, I'm going to do this again and do this the right way. And let's give props out to Will and Jada because they're the muscle behind that as well. She would not be where she is today. So we can show another side of us. It's great to see. And I'm so happy with the success of Queen Latifah and Arsenio. I just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, no. You know, actually,
you
I was
can
saving,
continue.
I was saving a little bit of that because I know I did this on a news program, that Latifah's her debut was the highest daytime talk show debut since 2009 with Dr. Oz. So her numbers blew everyone out of the water. And so according to Variety, Arsenio Hall's show posted the strongest ratings out the gate, making that late night talk series the highest rated premiere week of any syndicated talk show in key demographics in 7 years.
Yeah. So, and you know I've been saying this for the last 10 years, bring Arsenio back. You know I've been championing that. I've been saying that forever.
Yeah.
And now that he's here and I watched it, here in Baltimore, we don't get him until 11:30. So I have to hear everybody else who's talking about him at 10 o'clock, which is great.
Okay.
But I'm so thrilled at his show and the amount of guests that have come back on his show.
Yeah,
man.
I was just talking about that earlier, saying how everybody looks so happy to be there because they're not relaxed on all these other talk shows, whether it's David Letterman or whomever. They have to have that industry posture. On Arsenio, they don't have that. So I'm not going to say any names, but people were blasting him, saying he needs to update his show and be more hip. And it's like, first of all, it is Arsenio. You don't tell Michael Jackson to not sing like Michael Jackson. You don't tell anybody in their own stilo that they need to be updated, right? Arsenio's doing his thing. So his skits are funny. Like Latifah's. Latifah's doing a great job.
Right. And to be gone for, to give, you know, I think Latifah was gone for, what, 10 years off the air?
Yeah.
I think she came in, 2001, 2002. So, and then you have Arsenio who's gone about 20 years. So in that time, no one has established themselves and doing stuff. Man, this is, you know, who says that history can't repeat itself?
Right. Wait a minute. Did you hear his interview with Ice Cube? Did you see that show?
I missed that show. I'm still catching up on some shows because I've been in and out of town and doing stuff.
Okay. You know what? I wanted to actually play a little bit of this clip from Arsenio. This is Ice Cube on Arsenio. All right. Here we go.
You brought me a cassette.
Yeah.
And the cassette had written on it, F the police.
Yeah.
And you know where I'm from and you know what I love. I mean, hip-hop made me who I am because I couldn't book, you know, Bing Crosby or whoever was big at the Johnny Carson show. So I eventually helped found my way because of gentlemen like you. But you brought me that tape and I remember going in a meeting at Paramount and playing it and saying, I want to book this group. And, you know, I wasn't famous. My show wasn't, you know, big yet. And I had to ask.
Yeah.
And they said no.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, what you all did was beyond music at that point. Would you reminisce on that? I mean, the government was in it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we was It was coming after us from all angles. But, you know, this was our only weapon. You know, this was our only way to protest what was happening in South Central Los Angeles, you know, with, you know, the intersection of, you know, crack and gangs and, you know, police brutality. You know, this was our only weapon, was to speak on it. And, you know, I was mad because you wouldn't have me on your show,
yeah.
not knowing that Paramount, you know, the man, you know what I'm saying, had their thumb on your neck, you know what I mean? But, but you know, it's cool. You know, I was young, too, at the time. I didn't really know how the game worked, you know what I'm saying? But it's all love, baby.
Yes,
you know,
indeed,
man, we're
sir.
Doing the big,
yes,
now.
Indeed. How did it go from a good day to a movie star?
It's because of you, man. It's because of you. Here's how. Here's how.
Okay.
John, I came up to the Arsenio Hall show to give you a piece of my mind because you didn't have us on your show. And I ran into a little intern that worked for you named John Singleton.
Yes, a U.S.
And John Singleton.
Yes.
I ran into John, and John was like, yo, you Ice Cube, man, I know you are N.W.A. Yo, I got this movie that's perfect for you called Boys in the Hood. You down? And I'm like,
wow. I remember.
At first, I said no, because you're an intern for Arsenio Hall, so you ain't got no damn movie for me. Stop lying. But then, you know, it turned out to be real. So if it wasn't for Arsenio, I wouldn't be right here on Arsenio tonight.
Wow. Thank you for telling that story, man. I remember.
All right, now that was Ice Cube on Arsenio. I wanted to play that clip. I actually just had it on the board, just in case we talked about Arsenio again, because he's doing so well. And Ice Cube looked, to me, like he was about 22 years old. That's how much fun he was having with Arsenio.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back, and I remember working at Fox, working in the master control room when Arsenio was on, man. And you just knew this was it. This was history. And this is what we needed to take the culture in another direction. And like Ice Cube said, if it wasn't for Arsenio, and you look back over all them shows, you look back, I don't care who you name now. If it wasn't for Arsenio, there would be no Tony Braxton, which means there would be no Braxton Sisters. If it wasn't for John Singleton, you wouldn't have the Nia Longs, right, the Ice Cubes, you know, all of that. If it wasn't for, you know, Arsenio having Spike Lee on, so Spike Lee could promote all his movies that was on,
you wouldn't
see the Samuel L. Jackson. There was no outlet. There was no place where we could go talk about films and somebody interview us who knew what the film was about, because even if they never saw it, because they lived it. So,
right,
you know, you had Higher Learning. You had Boys in the Hood. If you look at that time period in the 90s when Arsenio was on, and you look at the black movies, they made
a
profound
statement. The Hughes Brothers
on? Yeah, the Hughes Brothers. You had Wesley Snipes. You had, I mean, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
It all came
to Denzel in his young days. Yeah,
yeah,
Denzel
and Holly. If it wasn't, exactly. If it wasn't
those
for
guys
Arsenio.
Those guys are all small films. Yeah, remember?
Exactly. And remember, too, all the black television shows that were on. Robert Townsend show.
Yeah.
The Sister to Sister. You know, all these shows were successful because they had an outlet to promote. Right now, they don't even get. And you knew that David Letterman and all those guys were scared, because then you start seeing all of a sudden folks that you would say, hey, what they doing on David Letterman? Now they're on, because now they're starting to make a name or a buck. Without Arsenio, Omar Epps would have never been in House. Mikhail Pfeiffer would have never been in. You got to think about it, ER, because that show connects the dots.
And you know, one of the best stories I think that I heard about Arsenio is that he said when he first came back, when they announced that he was coming back, Prince called him and said, save a night for me. Because if you remember, Prince would come on there and play for the whole show. So no matter what, he said one of the first people that supported him, when he found out, he said, I got a phone call from Prince and said, save a night for me, I'm coming on. So he's going to do a concert on Arsenio. And he did that a couple of times before.
And that's the thing we missed. We had our music, whether it be jazz, whether it be gospel, whether it be hip-hop. You had all of that on there. You had guests. Since when would Michael Jackson just show up on a show?
Right.
You know,
right.
He had a night with Eddie Murphy. I mean, you know, and that's what we need. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with Letterman. There's nothing wrong with Conan. There's nothing wrong with any of those shows. But we needed a show that was for us, by us, specifically so we could promote the kind of stuff that we had. And I think a lot of the independent artists that have been struggling, whether it be books, movies, television, or whatever, now you can start breathe a sigh of relief because now we have Arsenio back, and you just never know because there's a lot of stuff that we
want. Oh, I don't know if you saw his show with Kendrick Lamar on there. I mean, great show. I mean, he let him perform. Then he interviewed him. Then he let him perform. I'm like, who gets the chance to do that? Teddy Riley was just on there with his new group. So those guys wouldn't have gotten no light in any of these other shows. I don't care if it was Conan, anybody. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have saw no light.
And I'm going to tell you this, Esprit. That made the music, the books, and the films that much better because we were all trying to figure, you know, we were just like, yo, Arsenio played, we got to play this. Or we got to go read this. Or we got to go see this. So everybody was really practicing their craft. And I think since he's been off those 19 years, there's been a lot of laziness from the promoting end and the marketing end to the artists themselves. And I think now everyone has to step their game up because now Arsenio is back. And except and not only Arsenio, now you got to look at Queen Latifah as well. And these are two people that never sold out, never. Now, I'm not suggesting certain other people that have their shows sold out, but I know for a fact from working at Fox and Arsenio that cat never sold out. He quit.
So the bad rumor with Arsenio was that he got kicked off the air after he did the Minister Farrakhan interview. But the truth is, Arsenio quit. He brought Minister Farrakhan on. It was no pressure the other way around. He was out of there. That was Arsenio's choice to do whatever he did.
The thing was, there were a lot of agents who are Jewish, who had Jewish clients, and they told Arsenio if he brought Farrakhan on, that he would never get these artists on the show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until after that a lot of these actors and actresses said they didn't even know that was said, that it wouldn't have been true. And Arsenio got mad at that, and that's why Arsenio quit. No one pressured him because he was the number one show. You can't pressure a number one show to do what, especially if they got to do it their way. You just can't. And so he quit because he didn't like the industry. Yeah.
By the way, he's going to be on Oprah's Next Chapter with Arsenio. That airs October 20th, 9 o'clock Eastern on OWN. So Oprah's sitting now with Arsenio. And while we're at this, you know, this is going to be a black-on-black crime, but I just want to – I have this note in front of me that I don't know if you saw the controversy from the singer Maxwell. He tweeted and deleted this message. He said – I don't know why he did this, but he deleted it. Shout out to Prince, I'll be sure – Chris Brown, Jeff Wright, Drake, and Justin Bieber, long live the light-skinned Negro. I don't know why that was funny to me.
Oh, it's funny to me, too.
I don't know. I was like, what? So you should have saw the internet comments about Maxwell. I told him to stop drinking. He must be on some stuff now. Like, they were just going brutal on him. But that whole light-skinned Negro with Justin Bieber thing was just kind of a little too much. But anyway, that's a black-on-black crime. I just want to say that.
By the way, Esprit, I'm getting texts here that you need to turn on the chat room.
Chat room is turned on. Tell them refresh your screen. The chat. Hey, Lavinia's in the chat room. Hey, Lavinia. Didn't even see that coming. She said, Lavinia is in the chat room. She said, Maxwell got some stuff with him.
I think, you know, if you follow Maxwell, he has a dry sense of humor. I think that's all that was.
I don't know Maxwell, so I can't defend him, but I'm just going to tell you this. He was wrong for that.
I think it was a cute little joke. I'd have said the same thing.
No. It's funny to me because it was stupid. So as major media takes it, and you, my friend, is always the person talking about they need to understand what their presence is and how people take it and run with it. That's if he was just talking to black folks, he made a joke in the room. That's funny. I follow him, but I get your point.
But I follow him, and I know he says some off-the-wall stuff. That's funny.
See, I don't follow us. I don't know. I don't follow anybody.
So. And we all know that Justin Bieber think he black, so he just added a funny. I didn't say he was. I just said he think.
Okay. I'm just going to let that go.
Is that a white-on-black or...
Look, with all of Molly's siren, and I know Lavinia's going to go off on this one, but I know with all of the, she said that you're giving them crazy passes. This is what's going on in the chat room. But anyway, because you are, It is just like the whole Miley Cyrus thing.
Please don't mention Miley Cyrus.
Crazy.
I do not want to give her no props. I'm not going to talk about Miley Cyrus. I'm not giving her props. Mm-mm. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't care. We blasted it before. But you can't give people honorary black cards just because whether they do something crazy or they hang out with black people.
I agree.
No, I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to people generally. You cannot say that to white folks because they take that in a different kind of way, right? So if you hang out with black folks, the black folks you may hang out with just may be crazy. That don't make you black. Like, don't get that twisted anyway.
That ain't what Quentin said. Quentin said he's going to make a movie about us.
Who said that?
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin, okay. You're about to make me curse. And speaking of that, that's why we're going to go to Sam Jackson. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I am going to go straight to the Sam Jackson versus the POTUS. Now, Sam Jackson said the president of the United States needs to stop trying to relate and be effing presidential. He was speaking in an interview with Playboy magazine. He was questioned the president's reasoning for changing his speech, saying, first of all, we know it ain't because of his blackness, so I say stop trying to relate. Be a leader. Be effing presidential. He said, look, I grew up in a society where I could say it ain't or what it be with my friends, but when I'm out presenting myself in the world as me, who graduated from college, who had a family who cared about me, who as well as has a well-read background, I effing conjugate. Apparently, Sam Jackson doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, he's using foul language in this, telling people to be more correct in their English. So Sam graduated, by the way. He studied at Morehouse in Atlanta. And he said that he gets annoyed when high-profile figures try to talk street language to appear more down-to-earth. So he continued his rant by saying, educated men like the president who actively try to speak less correctly encourage mediocrity. So
what is Samuel Jackson talking about?
He's talking about the president. I guess he's saying the president tries to talk down to people.
Is Samuel Jackson high?
I don't know. He need to see. You can beat me out on this one because Sam Lindos is beeping mine talking about the president like he don't have no sense. But seriously,
he should know
this
better
guy,
than that.
Speaking of Quentin Tarantino, your butt gonna run around and play slaves all day, and now you're gonna come back and then talk about what the president is doing. Now, on that note, let's go to the phones because I know where this is going to go. Hey, Lavinia, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are y'all doing tonight?
I'm good. See, I hate to bring you in to cuss out, but Sam Jackson lost his mind. So I just didn't like where that was going. And Finesse is going to give him a pass like he did Maxwell. So I just want to make sure I brought you in.
You know what? Before Lavinia gets in, I just want to say this. There's no comment for Samuel Jackson because he sounds like a fool.
Yeah.
And you in Playboy magazines of all magazines.
Can you explain to me again exactly what – I don't get the point he's trying to make here because it was
thank
like,
you.
It didn't make any sense. Was he high? Was he smoking? Was he drinking?
Thank
like, what
you.
Happened that
see,
none of those words were coming together to make a complete sentence that had the
those
same
were
thought from beginning to end?
Those were
he
quotes,
sound
and
like
I couldn't
somebody,
even follow.
He sound like somebody – I used to hang out with it, get high, sit on your sofa and eat Doritos and just talk. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? And I ain't the only one. She agreed. So,
hey, Sam Jackson said, the other day I'm watching this white guy talk to black people on TV, and all of a sudden he's saying stuff like pump your brakes and I got you. He said these new politically cool terms that kind of came out with hip-hop and blackness. So we have newscasters who don't even know how to conjugate verbs. Now, how the F did we become a society where mediocrity is acceptable? I say to you, Sam Jackson, when you made that damn Quentin Tarantino movie, you want to take some blame for that? I don't care if you're accurate or not. I just thought
white people have been.
So he started out calling out white people for not speaking the king's English, but I don't understand. Is that what he was doing?
He's saying black people encourage white people to not speak that way. So now he's going off on the presidency.
Cares?
Who the hell is Sam Jackson?
White people talking on TV. Why do they care? Listen.
White people have always wanted to be down and be us. If you take the freaking word bling bling and put that in the dictionary, something is wrong with you, and that's what white folks have done. That is in the Webster Dictionary. So they've been doing this for years. We've been saying crib forever.
Okay.
Now that's become part of the language. I don't understand where Samuel Jackson is going with this and how the president got involved and all this other stuff. None of that has anything to do with one another.
Well,
how did the president get dragged into that?
No, Sam Jackson lost his mind. And by the way, I was watching Family Feud, and one of the questions was, what's another word for backside? And the white lady said, badonkadonk. So, anywho, all right, on that note, let's go to the phone lines. What's up, Loki? Because I know you want to jump in on this one. What's up, man?
What's going on?
What's going on, brother?
So I'm about to rush Limbaugh, y'all.
You're about to rush Limbaugh, us.
Oh, no. Not the Rush Limbaugh.
He had to go off.
Oh, man.
No, he didn't Rush Limbaugh us.
Wait a minute. I got my hat on the commercial button, so don't worry about this one. You about to Rush Limbaugh us?
Yeah, you might want to keep your finger on that button.
On the mute button.
Now, look. We all know Sam Jackson is beside himself, but he's making a point. He made a point.
Uh-huh.
About people being condescending or, you know, trying to sound like they down and they can relate. He's making a point. I mean, I don't think it's relevant to the president, but, you know, he's making a point. We do have a lot of people that do that. You know,
but they've been doing that for years.
But for some reason, we give people a pass. I mean, I'm talking about, let's just talk about blacks. Mm-hmm. We give them a pass when we should give them a pass. Now, Sam Jackson's making a point, but it's not relevant to the president. So, and I was going to say, the problem is he's still acting in that movie he just did. So, I mean, you have to understand.
Django?
Yeah, he's still in Django. He never left character.
He's still in
Django
mode. Okay. But first of all, Sam Jackson lost me when he took Quentin Tarantino's side over Spike Lee. Not to say that Spike Lee said it was their wives that got together. And Sam Jackson said that he would love to be an old boy, which Spike Lee put him in his new movie, which is coming out November 27th. Anyway, Spike Lee kind of let Sam back in, too. Sam loses his mind and doesn't remember where he came from sometimes, because I think his performance in Jungle Fever should have got that fool banned like J.J. back in the days. Like, that was buffoonery. So, technically, I'm no hater on anybody. I know Sam Jackson has done a lot of movies.
Come on now. Listen. You hit the nail on the head when you said buffoonery. Let's look at his movie. Let's just look at it.
What?
Banks on a plane. Black Snake. What's that? Black Snake Moan, whatever it was.
Oh, that was a good movie. Now, I ain't going to let you talk about that movie.
I'm going to talk about it.
That's a good movie. I don't care what y'all say. Now, I will say this.
Even though you have it in your collection.
I sure do. Blu-ray and DVD. If they have VHS, I get that too.
Support your black movies, boy. That ain't really one of them, but go ahead.
I will say this in honor of Samuel Jackson. Wherever he getting his weed from, it must be great. Because some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth that ain't scripted,
he must have been hanging out.
Some of that.
He's been hanging out with Maxwell.
Mm.
Let's go back to Maxwell. I'm going to go with my man on that one. I think Maxwell just said some interesting things, and it was just his sense of humor. He wasn't slamming. He was just being funny in his way.
All right, so
I thought it was hilarious too.
Yeah,
I thought it was.
If you when you first heard that, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean,
the thing is that he did it on Twitter, so it's like, okay, you got one audience that's going to look at it one way. Yeah, we kind of get where he's coming at, but you got another crowd who's going to take that. And next thing you know, they're like, oh, you know what? I'm an honorary black dude. I'm light skinned. So once Justin Bieber starts calling himself light skinned, y'all going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna be on here screaming on the next episode.
Justin, Justin already thinks he's black anyway.
Well, I don't know nothing about that. But you're right, Lavinia. If Justin came out and said that, we'd be all over him. But you
really?
But we
really?
Would be. Because,
no,
well,
not me.
I'm saying,
no.
Well,
that's buffoonery. I mean,
yeah, that is buffoonery. It is.
How am I gonna get upset because he thinks he's black?
No, I didn't say he'd get upset because he think he black. I said y'all get upset if he got up there and started claiming he was light-skinned Negro.
No, I wouldn't. He wouldn't be the first or the last. He wouldn't be the first or the last.
I would get up there and I would roast him. I mean, we already had that with Vanilla Ice, and that's who Justin Bieber reminds me of, Vanilla Ice.
Right.
Okay, but I can tell you all where I have a problem with this stuff. We already have a society that try to fade black people out by thinking that black folks are light-skinned or dark-skinned white folks. That's the society that we're in. So when we start actually selling that back to them, then, again, you would not have black people working. You wouldn't have black – I think I said this before, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, or it was Terry Lewis' organization, where they were saying when they were getting rid of the black music divisions or departments and all of these major record labels, it's because they think they can make black music, so they don't need black people to do it. Once they figure out that you're a consumer – they're going to weed out all black folks. That's why you don't get black movies. That's why you don't get Jack. So Arsenio is going to change the paradigm because now he's back and his numbers are coming back. So it's going to darken all the other talk shows out there because Arsenio's there. But believe me, if they could mock black people and not need them, we wouldn't even be here. That's what the problem is.
And they've done that, and this is where we go back to what we were talking about earlier. That 20 years that he was off the air, they've done that. The 10 years that Queen Latifah was off, they've done that. Now you come back and you bring back two individuals that's not going to sell out for any other, and they're not going to have the kind of guest on there with the buffoonery. You know, they're going to have guests on there that they feel are going to set an example or raise the bar. That is where we're going to start to see a change, I agree. But we also, in our own communities, we have to stop that as well. So I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But sometimes when we say a joke, are we going to be too sensitive? Because all that was with Maxwell. If you look at how he said it, you know it was a joke.
I am with the joke. I am not with the fact that we can joke. I don't think that people understand that there's cultural differences with us, right? So you know how when you go to black folks' house and somebody says, man, your kid's bad. That don't mean that they're going to go shoot somebody, but I don't think white folks interpreted us calling each other's kids bad. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you, if Arsenio has said the joke on TV, would there be any difference?
Oh, Arsenio has already cracked some jokes. Even, what's his name? Who is the guy's name? I can't remember his name. But anyway, the comedian who made up the word booty call. What is his name?
Oh, Bill Bellamy.
Bill Bellamy was on there. And he did a scene from Training Day, and he used the N-word on Arsenio towards the end of the show. And I thought that was kind of wrong, right? But still, I didn't think anything of it. I'm not saying boycott Arsenio or don't watch it. Sometimes we do that.
You know,
sometimes we step out of bounds, and that's cool.
And some of us use that word because it's just part of who we are.
Okay, and I can live with that. But I'm just saying, like, we don't own all of this stuff. But when you are putting stuff out into the sphere, if it becomes a part of our normal conversation, we're going to have to shut it down. We just can't really say, oh, that's cute that he said that and that's funny. We just have to shut it down. So I was just calling it out because he said it because I thought it was funny, but it's still a black crime he shouldn't have did. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I give you that. It was funny as heck, though.
I did laugh.
Wait, but wait a second.
Wait
a second. What happened with Samuel L. Jackson and the president? We didn't even – we just totally ignored him.
He never said anything. All he said was, be a leader, be effing president. And he was saying, we all know that he's not president because of his blackness, so stop trying to relate, is what he said to the president. Stop trying to relate to black folks because you don't have to do that. We know you went to Ivy League school.
Lavinia, in our communities we have people that's on crack. You know how it is.
We get bougie.
So,
we get bougie.
You know,
that is
Samuel,
no
Samuel
doubt.
just Sam, you're just that uncle that's on crack. We know it, so
here's what I chalked this up. You know he went to Morehouse, right? So I've been to some of the Lynx stuff, Jack and Jill stuff. I'm not one of them. But I can tell you them boozy black people ain't nobody play with. They just like it. They like the world to be like it is and can't see any difference. So Sam Jackson see himself as playing a character, but since he's a Morehouse man, now we got to be like, you know, he needs to look presidential. What the hell is presidential to Sam Jackson?
Exactly.
We never hear him speak before.
What isn't he doing?
By the way, in 2008, Sam Jackson did donate $50,000 to the president, according to The Hill, when he was running. So he was supporting the president. Thank you for your donation, but shut that boop up.
Oh, so he wasn't on black people that field because he donated some money. He got a voice.
He could say anything he wanted to.
And Playboy, like you said. And Playboy, nonetheless.
Exactly.
And
now, if you was in King Magazine and you said that, I might listen.
Yeah,
Be honest.
Yo, read no articles in King Magazine.
Hey, I'm very educated. I read magazines. I read those articles after I look at the pictures a few times.
If they have an audio magazine, then maybe they ain't reading no damn articles.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, okay.
He got King on tape. That would be King Magazine on tape. Go ahead. Hey, Loki, my bad.
No, I'm just totally agreeing, man. I mean, you know, this is coming out of Sam Jackson's mouth, and you know, who gives it any credibility?
The crack dealer?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You're telling the president to be presidential, and not just effing presidential.
Can you imagine what that looked like on Crowley Street? They in the back getting a hit. What you say about
the president? Hey, come on now. are you playing a Sam Jackson character right now? Because I can tell he's been playing way too many of those characters. All right. In the words of Michael Jackson, they don't really care about us, so forget all that nonsense. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're going to come back with more. And actually, a Duke professor was actually talking about he was talking about racism in America and what we need to do about post-racial America. To give you a little hint, he said the white folks need to step up their game. But we'll talk about that. I'll read what he was talking about when we come back. You listen to Black on Black Crime. Dial in 909-265-9189. We'll try to get, let me put Vanessa on mute because I know he's about to yell. But we'll be back in just a minute. We'll be back.
Child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. You wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury sheets. You get into your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury suit and your luxury watch. You grab your luxury coffee from your luxury coffee maker and add some luxury sugar. You step out of your luxury house and step into your luxury car, which makes everything else seem ordinary. Introducing the Acura RLX, with Jewel-Eye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steering. It's luxury, taken to a whole new level.
You know, there are a lot of choices out there for late-night talk shows, but here's the reason you're going to watch mine.
It is off the chain.
And that's a guy dressed as a scientist. You can go now. I got this.
The Arsenio Hall Show.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 888-927-2498. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 888-927-2498. That's 888-927-2498.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
When was the last time something made your jaw drop? Campbell's has 24 new soups that will make it drop over and over again. From jam and jerk chicken to creamy Gouda bits, see what's new from Campbell's. It's amazing what soup can do.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, on with Finesse, Lil Key, and my girl, Lavinia. What's going on, people?
What's going on?
All right. If it's a little quiet, I know I didn't want to get too heated back on the Sam Jackson. I just had to make sure that was out everybody's system. Sam Jackson gone?
Now, yeah, I think we're done with him.
We're done with him.
Just, all right. So it's like an ABC. It's like an ABC after school special. Just say no.
Oh, you know what?
I miss those.
Well, I'm at. I don't know if you guys saw the news story where black women were allowed to join white sororities at the University of Alabama. So there were some black women who, I guess the sororities wanted to accept two of them, and their alumni came in, told them that they couldn't have them. So the president of the University of Alabama said that 11 black students and three from other minority groups received bids or invitations to join this historically white sorority, and from that group, only four black students and two students from another minority group has accepted. So she's happy that Alabama is allowing black students to go into white Greek sororities.
Oh, I thought black people been doing that for years.
It's a good time episode. Remember that episode when they tried to get Thelma to join that white sorority?
You did not bring this
it
back.
It was
good
a
time.
Few weeks ago.
I love it. Yes, sir. I actually remember that one.
Yeah, I actually was with Thelma. I was actually with Thelma this weekend.
Were you?
I sure was for the black down here in Baltimore. She was here for the Black Family Reunion.
Oh man, not Thelma. But she ain't joined. Lavinia, she didn't join, right? I don't think so.
Oh, what, the sorority?
Yeah, she
oh, no, they showed the little white girl the door. She said, you're lucky they didn't send Cindy. She doesn't like bees. And they're like, what's a bee? She said, black. And then they slammed the door.
That's
y'all
funny.
Don't remember that episode?
That could be termed two ways. That could either be a bee or black.
Okay,
they were
real
slick with
new.
That, right?
Yeah,
well,
you know,
at the time,
new.
They met, like,
yeah, you know what they meant back then. See, and that's why we have duality in language, and people always try to get it twisted. Like, we ain't really mean that. We meant the other one, the one that's not offensive. Now, Alabama admitted its first black student in 1963, so technically they're at their 50-year anniversary for racial integration, and they weren't accepting black students in that sorority. Not that I care, because I would have an issue if they said that you had to admit more other students in black fraternities and sororities. I think I'd have an issue with that, but hey, that's me and my double standard. I thought I
so does that mean? So does that mean the black fraternities are on campus? Because once you open up Pandora's box, it's open. Does that mean the white people can now be in the black sorority?
They already are.
In Alabama?
Right. No. Well, yeah. We don't know in Alabama. Are they?
Just in Alabama and in, I think, Georgia. There's a few white cubes. There's a few. It's already happening.
I mean, I've seen it, but you know, as far as Alabama's concerned,
Yeah, because Alabama, well,
like,
they're a little hurt.
I like the part when Rome said, you know, the alumni.
It was the alumni.
The alumni from the sororities were like, you can have one. You can't have one. Like it's a toy, it's a doll.
Right. You can't have somebody play with.
No, Mary Beth, you cannot have that bee in the group.
Remember what happened to Thelma? See, okay, so here's...
Next thing you know, they're going to take over the house.
No wonder that Good Times episode was on. They probably paid to have it on.
Now, the funny thing is, during the state fair, Salt and Pepper was there, right? And it was not a lot of black folks in comparison to the numbers of people who were non-black at Salt and Pepper. But they've been like a college white girl sorority favorite for a long time. So they were going crazy for Salt and Pepper. And I just thought it was funny. It was like, yeah, they'll listen to the music, but we don't want them in the organization. That's different.
Yeah.
We can go watch Salt and Pepper. But you can't bring them
in. You can catch a ball, you can sing, dance, and rap, but you cannot come to our house or date our daughters.
That's right.
Be the entertainment. So they can be the entertainment.
That's pretty much how that.
The entertainment and the servants, of course.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You can open the door and sing and dance at the same time.
And Rome did it right. It's Salt and Pepper.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Salt and Pepper.
You got a little too white on that one.
Yeah.
Salt
and Pepper.
How dare you mess up our icons?
That's
right. Hey, you know how Syracuse University is.
Jackson, you.
F and conjugate. I'm gonna try to find that audio because Sam Jackson's gonna come on the show every now and then to tell everybody to conjugate. That's gonna be a thing.
All you get is Uncle Ruckus saying conjugate. That's it.
Hey,
conjugate and pontificate.
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of that, we could do a whole new segment on we should have kind of a Sam Jackson reenactment every time we see somebody in buffoonery. It'll be our Sam Jackson moment. We'll have to do that on the show. Now, Duke Professor is discussing race. His name is he did this lecture titled "The Color of Colorblindness." He said, "Whites talk race in post-racial America." Now, he said, though racism is mostly covert today, blacks are subject to the same prejudices that they were exposed to in the 60s. And he said a new form of racism has emerged, replacing Jim Crow. We are not post-racial, he said. This ideology is suave but deadly. He said it focuses on relationships between blacks and whites, and it remains intact like it has decades before. So he said there are even forms of subordination and racism that has evolved. So as he was making his point, he said that racism is largely overlooked because discrimination itself presents itself in abstract ways, and they have the tendency to naturalize racism by calling it a social construct to justify their prejudice. So in his lecture, he was just saying, it doesn't mean that you're not racist to say that some of my friends are black. He said, but some people use that as a means of saying that they have balance, or I attended the Martin Luther King March on Washington. So now that they have a black president, he's saying they're using that as an excuse to say that we should give up the fact that there's still a lot of racism out here. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that, because we talked about that before. Like, we constantly fight for being heard and seen while people are, especially black folks, are acting like it's all our fault that we're in this condition.
Yeah, I think everybody just exhaled on that one just there.
It was like a tell us something we don't know kind of moment.
Yes, it was.
Well,
it was something
ahead,
also it. Was. It was also, have you been to Duke?
it's amazing that he's doing this from Duke, but I'm not bashing him because
I've been to Duke.
I've
been to Duke.
I've never been to Duke.
I've been to Duke in the daytime. I know they get out at night.
Okay. All right. So you've definitely been to Duke, and it is interesting that it's interesting that professors at these type of universities always have these type of lectures and comments, and yet the environment in which they speak about it in never changes.
Here's what I find interesting, because we had the Baltimore Book Fair this weekend, Book Festival this weekend, and everywhere I turned, there was a group of white people that want to talk about civil rights, the whole Trayvon thing, and they're sitting down in groups and doing studies and want to know, you know, why does racism still exist? I'm like,
you tell me.
I really don't want to hear this, because I live it every day. I don't want to be interviewed about this. Y'all figure it out. We already know what it's about. When y'all figure it out and y'all really want to do something, let me know. Until then, I don't want to be a science project or being told something that I already know.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if it's a thing where they're amazed that this still goes on.
Well, I mean, you know, one thing they should try doing is interviewing the grandfather.
Exactly. Try to do that closer to home,
really,
and then work
really
it out.
Try interviewing your grandfather, your uncle, or, you know, and ask them that question. You know,
yeah, I think
they're not going to say it doesn't exist.
And the fact that it's actually woven into society now just says that there's a pecking order. Like, we all know that even in the president's and what's going on with this budget shutdown with them not approving the budget or whatever they're going to do. The problem is that they have a problem with the president, not because he's president, probably because he's black. And we don't like to say that out loud, because it's like, well, that's obvious that he's black, so it can't be that anymore. So I think when we have the conversation, people don't act like those folks are racist to him because he's black. They just act like they don't like his party. Like, it's a Democrat. But there's undertones of race in all of that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, but the question, we talk about why does it still exist. I mean, when you're still asking that question, why does it still exist, that's the reason it's woven into society. Because you still have the gall to ask that question. Why does it still exist? Why are people so racist? I don't understand.
And you should have heard it, because they got on the topic of the Trayvon Martin, and they were, like, really asking questions like, what was going through his mind when this happened? I'm like, are you serious? I wanted to say so bad, the little N was probably trying to figure out how to get out of there so he wouldn't be dead.
Right.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you know,
I understand where the professor is coming from, man, and it is a good discussion. But I mean, it's like Vanessa said, you have these groups all over the place, man, and I see them every day. I interact with a few of the people, and I'm not going to say there aren't folks who are genuine about it, because there are. But if you want to answer that question, interview your people.
Right.
Stop trying to interview black people and see how we feel and why we feel, and interview your people. Ask them the same questions that you want to ask us. Start putting them on the hot seat, because you know what's going on.
Right.
Right. Now, he ended the lecture by proposing 5 ways in which the public can take action against hidden prejudice. He said whites need to play a prominent role in eliminating this new racism. He called the creation of a large cohort of anti-racist whites. To do this, whites must admit their denial of colorblind racism. He said we must fight white supremacy. And the only way to remove racism in America is to remove systemic racism. He also cited terminology as a contributing factor to the racial divide, like that the race should not be able to use descriptions like you have a black politician. You should just say that you have a politician. Now, you know I have a problem with this. Or you have a black movie. They shouldn't be able to. You shouldn't say it's a black movie. You should say it's a movie. Now, I think he's going too far when he said that part, but I think when your characters are black, it's kind of how black people talk, right? So culturally, if your main character and all of their friends are black, it's a black movie to us. So you can't really tell us to say it's not a black movie.
Well, if they really want to address the problem and really want to, on a whole, then let us for the next 40 years
beat you over the head, pull you over for no reason at all, make you wait in the welfare lines, all this other crazy stuff that you do to us. Let us do that for 40 years and then get back to us.
Yeah, I think that subject is rough for folks. I think you can't comprehend it, and this is why when we talk about the whole Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, like they're getting an illusion of what being black is when you talk about it from another community's aspect, and they look at us as caricatures. It's like, oh, they must be black. That's like a punchline to them. So
it's sort of like when you go to the basketball court and you just there, and you're the first person picked because they automatically think that you're Michael Jordan.
That you can play. Or they want you to sing a solo.
Oh yeah. Or they want you to bust out with a funky rhyme.
I just want my 40 acres of mule.
Vanessa's been scarred, people. We might have to take a break and get Vanessa help.
And no, I don't have Denzel's number in my phone. And yes, my sister's hairs are Israel.
You guys missed the story where someone talked about the fact that they had a day to fill Black People Hair Day at a school.
They've been doing that a lot lately.
I don't know what that's all about, but anyway, that can't be no cultural awareness day. It's like, I don't know who the black people were who volunteered for that, but that has to be the most. That is weird to me.
That's demeaning.
That is demeaning.
I don't know, I'm stuck somewhere else too, man. I mean, I'm with y'all, but I'm still stuck on a comment. I'm stuck on hidden racism. Who said racism was hidden?
I don't know who it's hidden from. That's my point.
I'm still stuck on that. I'm hidden racism. Closet racist. Really?
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of a long time ago when my son was real little, and we were playing hide and seek. And I turned around, I finished counting, and he was standing in the middle of the hallway with a pillow in front of his face. So, like, he thought he was hiding. because he figured he couldn't see me, so I couldn't see him. That's basically the way I see it. Like, they figure they're hiding it pretty good.
Right.
And you know what's funny? It is, I guess this is just a spin and a play on it. Because this whole hide in plain sight thing, you know, we talk about hiding in plain sight. You ever see the young brothers where they walk down the street smoking a blunt all day, like they can't.
Like nobody can see them. Well, listen. Here's the thing. Whenever
you call it being free.
Look. I was going to say, once Snoop went mainstream, there's some freedom in that?
Yeah, but that's freedom. You know, whose freedom is that? Because we all know that the minute they can catch Snoop outside of the confines of his home, he's going to do time.
Right.
Oh, right.
So that's stupidity. He got off on that murder case, and you know they still seething from that. You know, so they'll make an example out of them.
Why do you bring up old stuff?
because they obviously have not forgotten. They're waiting for Snoop to be off his house.
Well, yeah,
and besides,
right.
He's Snoop Lion now. Respect the new name.
Oh, he changed his name, so yeah, that ain't the same person.
Well, he needs to go back because that music is whack. And yes, that is a black on black crime. Uncle
it
Snoop,
sure
we
is.
Need you to get back with. We need to get back with Dre, and you and Eddie Murphy need to leave the weed alone because that
hey,
music
hey,
is
hey,
whack.
Hey. Now that sounds kind of hot. Now just let that go. Let it marinate.
Hot garbage.
Vanessa's about to get muted. He know I don't really play that, but I'm just gonna tell him right now.
Man,
this is gonna be your warning. What?
I'm feeling some hidden racism.
Right, but see, the point of that is you still have to know that that's a part of the dysfunction, right? To try to get us sidetracked on what racism is, and so I'd like to remind people that black folks have never dehumanized other people. White folks have,
And so that is the point, that they don't really feel like you should be hurt by it, because their threshold for dehumanizing people is pretty doggone harsh. So when they say, oh, I don't understand why you was upset, because we used to do 1,000 times worse to you than that, like they actually think the threshold is somewhere like, you know, like you have to catch them in the act. Right? So it just seems kind of strange to me that they would go that route. All right, let me just remind everybody, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We
just
talk about...
Like Paul, just be like Paula Deen. Get a bunch of them that don't mind to work for you.
Mm. Okay. And that is where Russell got cussed out. That's where Russell got cussed out, because Russell said that he thought that they were treating him like Paula Deen when he made the Harriet Tubman thing. Like, we even brush over Paula Deen like that's okay because she said the N-word. Some black people are cool with it. Russell is a nut, so he made Uncle Ruckus watch that week. So you can't have it both ways where you are speaking, trying to elevate folks, and at the same time belittling them at the same time. Like,
For Paula Deen, let me just go back to Paula Deen. It ain't even that so much to me that she used the N-word. She lived the life of someone uses it on
exactly.
The regular.
Exactly.
You know
she was actually oppressing black people.
Thank you for working for me and hitting your check. Yeah.
It wasn't right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they were missing the point, though.
Your check.
Right.
But I think they were missing the point. It wasn't that she used the N-word. It's the fact that she was treating black people like slaves. It's the point.
Well, what about that brother that she was on some talk show somewhere, and she was talking about the one brother that she had known for so many years and told him to come on over, said he was as dark as that blackboard, that he said, come on over here, what we can see.
He come over there cheesing and grinning.
Blackboard.
And he came over there smiling,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Cheesing and grinning with them tap shoes on.
Right, because he was closer to the boss than anybody else.
And that, my friend, is a driving Miss Daisy issue for me, so I can't really... I mean, you can love who you won't love, but technically, if she calling you names, there is something wrong with you to let somebody belittle still say, that's my friend. If they're belittling you and you're still saying that, that's a problem.
Hmm.
But that's what she did. That was Paula Deen. That was her... That was her thing.
If they had been me, they would have been needing a jury of 12 men and women.
I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. All right, see, Lavinia said in the chat room, although she's on the phone, that she said that there's a lot of testosterone on the show today, and Kai is missing today. Because Lavinia was like, we was about to start getting loose in here in a minute.
Lavinia, we got to tone it down for a moment. We're going to tone it down.
Where is my favorite teacher? I miss being homeschooled.
All right, don't get put on mute. I'm going to tell you right now. You can't even do that from a distance with her. We don't play with Kai now, so I'm just going to say.
I miss you, Kai. I got my homework.
Okay, see, he is begging for it, isn't he?
Yeah, man.
Look, Vanessa, one more word, you get mute.
One more word?
Okay, he's on mute. See how that goes? It wasn't even that long. See him, and you did. That boy don't know when to quit. I don't think he knows. So he didn't hear
the brother say muted. Whenever he calls on muted, we got the brother in the background muted. You're like, well, damn.
Muted. All right. We had to give Vanessa time out for a minute, and before we bring him back in, because we're not going to even bring him back in on this. All right, so we have a little bit of news and entertainment. Vanessa's on timeout. Damon Wayans Jr., speaking of entertainment, has sold a comedy series to Fox called Manchild. It's a pilot that's in production, and where it's like two fathers move in together and they struggle to balance their commitments with their children. He sold it. He's the executive producer. This is Damon Wayans Jr. He's also on a Fox show called New Girl, and Happy Endings got canceled. So he has a new show coming out. Do you know the comedian Delray Davis? Do you remember him?
Yeah, Delray, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, he was on, what was he on? Jumping the Broom. He was in that movie, G.I. Joe, and all this. Well,
okay,
he has
You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's on the Game Show Network. They announced that they signed him to host an original half-hour game show called Mind of a Man. So it's going to, man, it'll have two female contestants trying to figure out what a man really thinks. And they're going to be helped with a celebrity panel. We can almost play that game with Lavinia on here. Let me bring Finesse back in. I think he calmed down because we have too many men on.
Every black woman in America going to be on that game show.
You understand?
I know what a man wants. I want to be a man. Steve Harvey told me I could be a man.
Oh, gosh. All right, see. Yeah. Oh, by the way,
muted.
Steve Harvey is
muted.
I'm about to say.
You're not getting muted,
muted
for that. He's not getting muted for that. That is true. Like, that's going to be, I think that's why they got him. Now, go ahead.
So is this one of those shows they're going to be quoting, according to the book, think like a man, act like a woman?
Man. This is a black on black crime going wild.
Yes, I am, because I can see the sisters now sitting around their house. Girl, I know I could be on this show. I know everything. I know everything.
Okay. Lavinia, if you need me to mute somebody, just hit me up in chat.
I'm going to mute myself in a minute.
And you know how they know? You know how they know? They're going to know when they lose? It's going to say, muted.
I want to use the lifeline. I want to use the lifeline, Steve Harvey. I want to use the lifeline.
or we could call the lifeline the mustache, because that would be like this. Never mind. See, yeah, now I'm getting dragged in this. Okay. Now, the network has already ordered, get this, they ordered 40 episodes already. And they haven't even begun shooting it yet. Oh, it's going to be bad.
What are they shooting in Atlanta? What are they shooting in Atlanta?
I don't know.
There you go. What do they win at the end, though?
A box of chicken.
Okay.
Go ahead. You know what?
What you say? I don't know. Hit me up in the chat room, Lavinia. You got control now. Just say muted, and I'm going to have to start putting them on. All right. In more serious news, Todd Bridges is back. He's going to star in a Nick Demancy film called, what is it called? Well, it's a film about a working-class man, married, father of two, with dreams of a career in filmmaking, and he has the starring role. So he's just been signed on to do that movie. Okay, should I move on really quickly from Todd? What'd you say?
That's a good for him, because instead of doing those world dumbest shows or whatever, it's get him working.
That's right. So Todd, you said to get him working. All right, and so go ahead, Finesse.
I wasn't gonna say a word.
Okay.
Well, I'm still laughing at the game show. I think that's hilarious. I can't wait for that.
I don't want Lavinia trying to put us on mute or nothing, you know.
Lavinia's nice. She ain't gonna do that right now. No, I'm just joking.
I don't know. I'm not gonna abuse my power.
Okay, you can't go on.
I have one more joke in me.
Wait a minute. Go ahead. But I was going to say, that means Lavinia can't be on the show if she ain't going to abuse her powers. But your turn, Finesse.
She can't be on the talk show.
No, she can't be on that game show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's, you know.
Mind of a man.
No, because Lavinia's not hood. See, they're going to get them hood sisters on there that think they know everything about a man. That's why I can't wait to watch that show. Oh, I can't wait.
I am not watching that show. It's going to be GSN, and it's going to premiere in 2014. They didn't give a start date yet, but he is going to be hosting that. Now, if you don't know who Delray Davis is, he had a one-hour comedy special on Showtime, which apparently was really successful. He was on Second Generation Wayans. he was messing with one of the Wayans, Latoya Luckett, I think. She was playing a character in there. And he lent his voice and writing talents to Kanye West albums. He's from Chicago, so he did a lot of the comedic stuff in between his albums. He was on the Boondocks and currently on Adult Swim's Black Dynamite.
He was a regular on Wildin' Out with Nick Cannon's show.
Yeah.
There was. Very underrated guy.
Yeah. He's a funny comedian, but I don't know how he's going to get over this.
You already know now. Come on, don't play like you don't know now.
I don't know. All right. BET is...
If I say it, you're going to be muting me.
I'm not going to mute you. Go
ahead. Live with Jigga.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, you'll get muted. Never mind. Lavinia, can you get away with that? Let me go to the censors. Hold on. He's not abusing her power. He's not abusing power today.
No. Bring the brother out. Bring the mutant brother out.
Yo, they don't bother Sam Jackson.
Oh yeah, it gonna have to act like one.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, so BET is partnering with Relativity Media to produce Gina Prince Blythewood's next feature called Blackbird. So it's going to be produced in July. It's a love story film set in music, like it's a person in the music industry, music world. Blackbird will be released by Relativity and then it will go on BET and BET South Africa. It's our first film.
BET
since.
Channel in South Africa?
Yep, they just expanded. BET and OWN apparently have.
I can see
OWN,
I just can't see BET.
Yeah, selling that stuff across seas can't be too good. But
I mean, what they offering? They offering 106 in Park.
All right. And speaking of own.
What is this?
Now you know.
BET's co-founder and billionaire Sheila Johnson.
They cannot believe this is what they're listening to.
A few black female billionaires in the world.
This is a fool. Otaka, James Channel.
We're clamming.
I can't tell who needs to mute right now, but anyway. So.
Put it on. Put it on.
Ahead and I will mute myself. What is the hell date? I do not understand the hell date.
I forgot all
what
about
is this
hell
talking? I heard it all. Like, BET in Africa. Oh my God.
You guys know. I think you guys all know what that means. It is time to start the show over.
That's right.
I thought it was supposed to be a white devil.
All right. Vanessa, I got to tell you, last week she was gone, it was Lavinia who got the outro music because she did just that. I don't know how I'm handling both of you on the show, but it's about to be me and Low Key.
All I know is BET in Africa.
Hey, as long as they bring Donnie Simpson back, I don't really care. That's all I want to say. For BET.
Now I gotta go get DirecTV. I got to see this.
You're on BET in Africa. All right, on that note. You've been listening to Black on Black Crime. I don't know what we were talking about today. But you can check us out in the archives. I'll edit all of them out.
What is this? What is this bull? What is twerking?
Check us out at estimation.solosyracuse.com/BOBC. And I'm trying to edit out as much as I can. Everything but the Sam Jackson. All right. We'll see you again next week. And I'm not even forgetting Finesse on the way out. Join us again every Monday. See you later. Peace.
Outrageous. Bowling. Outrageous.
Eddie Murphy joined the program from the moon. Oh, God.
What is that on his neck? Is that saying Zulu?
Nobody's ever gotten muted on the outro music.
All you gotta do is conjugate now, my brother.
Conjugate. Epic conjugate. Sam Jackson will be joining us next week for a special viewer note. All right, people. See you again next week. Conjugate.
Oh, my goodness.
Conjugate.
So foolish. BET. Garbage.